from Tribeca.
This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
And a very good Monday morning to you. If you're just joining us, the gang is all here. Natalie is back from her vacation. I'm back from my vacation. Len is still here. And Bartlett's with us. So welcome back, everybody.
And Bartlett, they brought us nothing. They come back from Greece and Italy.
I told you, I'm going to bring nothing. I'm bringing something in on Friday for everybody to enjoy.
Yeah, but you could just get that here in New York.
Brought
it's
it today.
Not necessarily going to come from Greece.
Yeah, right.
Well, actually, I was going to look for a Greek wine in my local wine merchant to bring it. No. I bought it.
Yeah,
I bought it duty free at the airport. Yeah. I saved a little money, and you know, I don't want to spend too much money on you guys. But I brought you a very nice white Greek wine, not rosé, because I know you don't like that pansy rosé.
I don't like white wine either.
I've gone over to white a little bit.
How about a nice Greek red?
I have that too. I'll bring a bottle of that. I'm not going to bring both bottles in for you guys, because I'm keeping one for myself.
Well, just bring the red then.
Bring red
now,
for me.
Red in the morning? No. You want to start your morning with some white wine. That's what I always do.
Is that what you want? All right. Oh, really?
Yeah, yes. All right, for you, I'll bring... No, I'm not going to bring in a bottle of red, because you're going to put ice in yours and ruin it.
I will put ice in it.
30-year-old bottle of wine that I bought at duty-free.
30-year-old bottle of wine?
30 euro.
Oh, euro. I thought you said 30-year-old. I said, wow, what'd you say for that? 30 euro. That's still expensive.
I'm not going to let you. Yes, I'm not going to let you put ice in a $40 bottle of Greek wine, okay?
Don't do it. Yeah.
All right, the big three. The truth is not the truth. That's what Rudy Giuliani said on Meet the Press, and they're piling on, even though I think that quote has been wrenched out of context by Len this morning.
Truth isn't truth.
Oh, you say Trump isn't truth. No.
Truth isn't truth.
You're wrenching the quote out of context. Okay, Len?
Fine.
All right. Also in the big three, this is really interesting. So Asia Argento, she's an actress who accused Harvey Weinstein of raping her. She has denounced Harvey Weinstein. She got a lot of attention for it. Well, it turns out she's got a little hashtag Me Too problem of her own. She paid off a 17-year-old actor named Jimmy Bennett $380,000 after, according to the New York Times, she plied him with alcohol and put the moves on him in a hotel in California. So she was on the other foot there. That is an interesting one. And rounding out the big three, oh, it's a nightmare at the Lincoln Tunnel. They've closed off lanes. The delays are piling up. It is the beginning of the summer and fall of commuter nightmares.
We'll have a live report coming up later in this hour, and Bernie Vider will join us to discuss, so we'll detail what's going on there.
But first, let's check in with our friend, ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts, who knows all about politics, but I'm told, Steve, you know a little bit about the wines from Greece.
I do. I lived in Greece for 4 years, and I drank a vast quantities of Greek wine.
So tell me, white wine in Greece. Who wants white wine from Greece?
Steve Santorini.
Santorini had the volcanic soil in Santorini produces an exceptional wine, and I would put it very high on your list. Our best wine was a wine called Domestica. At the time, it cost us, I think, 95 cents a bottle.
Wow.
And that's why we could afford to drink so much.
Red or white?
White.
White? Really?
Well, Greece is hot, Len. You want red, and white, and you want rosé.
Yeah, like
exactly. And you eat a lot of fish. Come on.
That's true.
Len.
You do eat a lot. Come on, Len. Sound like all the listeners.
I will say, Steve, that the red wine from the Peloponnese is very good, too.
Peloponnese,
I meant to say.
Well, you put me to sleep.
A lot of American Greeks in Astoria who are listening to us right now would be very upset with your pronunciation.
I meant the Peloponnese.
I grew up in Astoria. I'm upset with them.
Did you drink wine from the Peloponnese?
Never.
All right, Greeks in Astoria from the Peloponnese.
All right, Steve, bring us up to speed. What do you make of Rudy's comment, the truth isn't the truth?
Well, look, this is already a classic meme, right? I mean, this is right up there with alternative facts. It was instantaneous. But it's not, you know, there's a lot of buzz about it, but it's really an important comment because it reflects a much larger mindset. It relates to this fight, ongoing fight with all the intelligence officers. The president lifted John Brennan, former CIA director, lifted his security clearance, threatens to lift 10 or others. This is... The perfect expression of the problem here, because when you say truth isn't truth, if you're a professional intelligence agent, your life is devoted to exactly the opposite precept. You are devoted to the notion that there is a truth that can be reported, measured, evaluated, and acted on in a nonpartisan way. These intelligence agents who protested the lifting of the security clearance are not just talking about Brennan. They are talking about the larger relationship between this White House and the intelligence community. Michael Hayden said it's dangerously close to being broken. Hayden, who was CIA director under George Bush 43. And the reason is exactly the mindset that Giuliani was reflecting. This White House does not believe in independent evaluations of the truth. They believe that whatever we say is the truth is the truth. But journalists, scientists, economists, this war on facts, this war on truth from this White House goes far beyond the intelligence field. It's just been crystallized by that issue this week.
Well, you brought up John Brennan, and he was on TV yesterday that how upset he is, not only about his own clearance, but if the president is insistent upon stripping other clearances, that he actually hinted of taking some kind of legal action. Would that even fly?
I doubt it. I mean, I'm not quite sure what the legal standing he would have or what the statute would be beyond a generalized notion of free press but and free speech, but look, when you a security clearance is not something you're entitled to, right? It's not like free speech. You have to earn it. You have to, and so I'm very unclear about the legal ramifications. I think the more important thing here is the political ramifications. It's one more example of how this president has offended people whose commitment is not just to a president, but to a presidency. When you're a professional intelligence agency, your loyalty is not just to an individual. It's to the national interest. It's to you, your whole life is devoted to a set of precepts and principles. And when Giuliani says the truth is not the truth, it strikes at the very core of what these people are always.
Yeah, but listen, but the believed. President treads in his deep state, and it's a corrupt, angry Democrats. I mean, he treads in this stuff. He deals in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sure. His core supporters agree with him. Do I think this is a devastating blow to the president politically? No, because we've seen this over and over and over and over again, that his core supporters seem so blindly and fiercely loyal that they're not going to be shaken by something like this. But as you and I have talked about before, we're going to talk about it again all fall in this election, the key races are not going to be determined by the 36 or 37% who believe fervently in Donald Trump. They're going to be decided by a marginal group of people, many of them women, many of them college educated, many of them living in the suburbs of a city like Milwaukee or Cleveland or Kansas City, who might have voted for Trump, might be lifelong Republicans, but are unnerved and upset by this president's attitude and his character and his temperament. And for those voters, this kind of controversy could have some effect because they say, wait, I believe in the intelligence agencies. I believe in patriotism. And this president is attacking the very core of this profession. And that's why, for those voters, not for the core Trump supporters, but for those marginal voters, this could have an impact.
Another thing that I think might tilt them away from Trump, this came out over the weekend, Steve, Omarosa saying that Trump used the N-word. And then the Apprentice people, NBC, saying that they can't, or the White House says, I guess, they can't really say that there are no tapes where he uses the N-word. If something like that comes out, that could that really devastate him?
Sure. You know, we learned with Richard Nixon, right? Tapes are a magic word. They're a devastatingly magic word. But it could have this effect. You know, if you look back at 2016, Donald Trump won for many reasons. But one of the key reasons he won was the failure of voters of color, particularly African Americans, to vote in anything like the same numbers they had voted for when Barack Obama was on the ballot. Now, in some ways, that's obvious, right? But if it could energize the black vote and to some extent other voters of color, that's where it could be important.
All right. Steve Roberts, ABC News political analyst. The Peloponnese. Did I pronounce it right?
You finally got it right.
third try is a charm.
Thank you, Steve. If you come to New York, I'll buy a glass of white wine from Santorini for you.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Hey, when we come back, Governor Cuomo says the president is un-American. This is Rich, coming from the man who says America was never that great to begin with. We're going to have some fun with that. And Mark Simone will be here at 10 o'clock. But first, let's get some traffic from Bernie Viner.
WOR.
Are you going to be okay over there? I'm worried about you. What'd you catch, a cold on the flight home or what?
Hey, I got a little head cold in the last couple of days there in Athens, and it's just working its way through my chest. So if you hear me a little stuffed up, folks, it's only because
by the way,
suffering from this.
I can't believe you shared that video with me. Riedel shows me. You got to see this video. I mean, what was that, in Mykonos?
Yes, it was at a...
He was singing and what were you, karaoke and dancing?
No, it was a club in Mykonos, and I'm not really a big club person at all, believe me. Well, but you know,
can't dance either. You look like Elaine Benes there.
No. I thought I was doing pretty well. And I got up, though. Everyone was dancing. They were doing, what's that song? Desperado?
Desperado.
Natalie, what's that song? Desperado?
Despacito?
Despacito.
That's what it was.
I didn't know the words, so once you start singing this?
I sex supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I didn't know the words. Anyway, I showed them the video, and Natalie said, can we put this up
on Twitter? We're going to get it up there.
Put it up on Twitter.
If you want to see, I don't know why you would in a million years, but if you want to see this guy trying to dance and trying to lip sync to Despacito, go ahead.
I was busting some moves on that dance floor in an orange shirt.
Surprised you didn't bust the camera.
No, he looked very good.
Yeah, did you?
He looked happy. He looked like he was two rosés in at least.
Two bottles, darling. Two bottles, darling.
Well, I didn't say glasses. I said just two.
And 2 gallons.
But, you know, we'll put it on the website also. It'll be for everyone to see everywhere.
But I thought I got those Despacito guys' hand movements down. You know, they put the hand up in the air, and I was pretending to hold the microphone.
You were doing fake maracas is what you were doing.
It's Latino
air themed. Maracas. It's like air guitar.
Hey, so what do you make of Governor Cuomo here? While you were gone, he said America was never that great. So now he's speaking at the First Baptist Church yesterday. And he's going on well, you know, what happened was after he made his ill-advised comments, the president roasted him on Twitter. So now Cuomo decides to fight back at Trump.
I believe it's un-American to lock up refugees and tell them, if you come to this country, we're going to torture you to make sure you don't come back.
And he was just getting warmed up there, Michael.
Every neighborhood has one. Scared small man in the house with the high fence and the shiny mailbox. Afraid of people who are different. Afraid of people who have a different religion, who speak a different language, who come from a different place. The person threatened by the diversity, who then uses anger to hide his fear.
Sounds to me as though he's talking about the basket of the deplorables. Sounds to me like he's talking the way Obama did about those people who cling to their guns and their religion. There is no better example than liberal elite condescension to the working class man than Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Let him finish.
You may be a slick salesman who fooled many people in this country, but you didn't fool me and you didn't fool New Yorkers.
Yeah, take that.
God, he is unbearable. Unbearable. He comes out and said America was never that great, and now he ramps up his passion against Donald Trump. Ridiculous. Even you, Len. It must turn your stomach to some extent. He's such a hypocrite.
Well, I didn't like his comments. America was never that great. And I thought he should have come out and apologized and moved on. And he didn't apologize. He just tried to set the record straight. How about Omarosa?
I hope Cuomo gets the Democratic nomination for president, because Trump is going to clean his clock. There is no way this guy is going to fly west of the Hudson River.
Oh, I agree with that.
No way.
I agree. And west of the Hudson means New Jersey. Hey, Omarosa was on with Sharpton and, claiming that Trump wants a race war.
We're losing right now because Donald Trump is disingenuous about his engagement and his outreach. And in fact, I believe he wants to start a race war in this country.
Turncoat. She's a turncoat.
I don't know about that.
She was happy to be by his side when he brought her to the White House. Now she's a turncoat peddling her memoir.
Seems a little extreme.
There is really no real commitment to diversity in the White House. And he's unapologetic about it because he's completely contradicted the commitment he made when he did that campaign of what do you have to lose? Well, clearly, we have to lose a voice, an advocate, someone who understands the issues and knows how to reach out to the community. We have a lot to lose.
And how about the fact CNN will not put her on?
I'm with CNN on that. She shouldn't be anywhere. She's just cashing in with her memoir.
Well, It's time for the Mets Shot for the Nuts turning point of the game. Be the first person who can correctly identify the turning point of last night's win over Philadelphia in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Mets and Phillies September 7th. Call 800-321-0710. Turning point, proudly presented by Chock Full of Nuts, New York's coffee since 1932. And to purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets. And for the latest news headlines, good morning to you. Go to Joe Bartlett.
All righty, Len. Pope Francis acknowledging that sexual abuse by priests was long ignored, kept quiet, or silenced. In response to that Pennsylvania grand jury report on years of sexual abuse and cover-up, the Pope writes today that no effort will be spared to prevent abuse and its cover-up. One of the first women to call out Harvey Weinstein for sexual assault facing her own accusations now, Italian actress and director Asia Argento, last year agreed to pay $380,000 to actor Jimmy Bennett. He claimed that Argento assaulted him in a hotel room in California 5 years ago when he was 17 and she was 37. President Trump, tweeting today, says disgraced and discredited Bob Mueller's looking for trouble. He says there's no Russian collusion, but Mueller and his group of angry Democratic thugs spent over 30 hours with White House counsel Don McGahn anyway. And former Governor Chris Christie telling ABC's This Week, that's the fault of the president's previous legal team.
Don McGahn was saying from the beginning, you want to fire Mueller, I won't participate and I'm out of here. Don McGahn was giving the right advice and saying the right things to the president from the beginning.
Trump says that Mueller and his angry Democrats are looking to impact the election. He calls them a national disgrace. A Bethpage firefighter going to be arraigned today on arson charges. Christopher Cordiero was arrested Sunday at his firehouse for allegedly setting several fires so he could help put them out.
You know, this comes up often. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, this
they want to be heroes.
There's not enough natural fires, so let's set some. 20-year-old firefighter allegedly set five fires between March and August using a Molotov cocktail.
Man.
Targets included a dumpster, a shed, and an abandoned house. Fortunately, nobody was hurt with that kind of foolishness. Our news brought to you by Gary Goldberg, Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. Finally here, is it time for NFL owners to sell? Wall Street Journal is asking whether the league has peaked. Speculates whether the days of TV contracts worth billions are coming to an end. While attendance continues to fall, also concerned about the safety of the players, with retired players speaking out and parents afraid to let their kids play football now, the Journal says maybe it's wise to unload your team now. Find some young private equity sucker who will give you a couple of $1 billion.
That's a valid question. I'm concerned about the safety issue. I mean, I'm not sure about the others.
I don't think football's going
to
fall apart anytime too soon.
It's a great sport.
It really is.
I wouldn't let my kids play, but I love watching it.
Yeah, let somebody else have their head knocked around a bit. There you are. It's not going to change.
Thanks, Joey. Yeah. Coming up, we'll have the winner to the Turning Point contest. And is it a Lincoln Tunnel nightmare? We're going to go live to the scene of the crime. First, here's Bernie Vider with Traffic Report.
Happy Monday, everybody. It's a very happy Monday for our Turning Point contest winner.
You betcha. David Tannenbaum, West Hempstead, first caller to correctly identify that this was the Mets' Chock Full of Nuts Turning Point of the game.
Here's the 1-2 on the way. Fastball hit on the ground up the middle. Base hit going into center field. That should score two. Bautista's in. Plawecki digging for the plate. The throw cut off by Santana. And so two more runs score. As Rosario is on at first with a two-run single, and the Mets have a 4-0 lead here in the second inning
there
in a game
go.
That means a whole lot to the Phillies.
Sure does for the Phillies. A pair of Mets tickets for David Tannenbaum. Your next chance to win is by listening to the next Mets postgame show here on 710 WOR for the Mets Chock Full of Nuts Turning Point of the game. They are playing the Giants tonight at Citi Field. Coverage here begins at 6:05. Listen to the postgame show for the Turning Point.
Now, we've been talking about all the problems at the Lincoln Tunnel, and oh my gosh, is it going to be a traffic
Armageddon nightmare?
It's going to be terrible. It's the worst. You're never going to get to work. Well, we may have a surprise for you. Let's check in with WOR reporter Scott Pringle, who's on the scene. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning there, Mike.
All right, so is it backed up?
Not one bit, actually.
Okay, bye, Scott. Nice talking to you.
What's going on?
Well, you know, it's funny. I talked to drivers, and this was in the 6 o'clock hour and the 7 o'clock hour, and a few that just came through maybe 20 minutes ago, 25 minutes ago, and not a single one had a backup on 495. In fact, two people told me this was one of the easiest times they've ever had getting through the Lincoln. So clearly people are either avoiding it and going to the George or Holland, or this is obviously a very popular vacation week, so we'll see the impact in September here. But the one problem I did find, a few drivers who used the Route 3 approach to get to the Lincoln. Now, Route 3 goes into 495, and there's two lanes there generally, and that gets pretty backed up. And now that's down to one lane for this entirety of this 2.5-year project. So people did get a little bit of congestion in that area, and I experienced that as well in the 5 o'clock hour coming in. So I could see that being a problem for Route 3 commuters.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the report here. Len and I are warning everybody it's going to be a nightmare, but Scott says you can sail
right
through.
Well, they listen to us. See, all those drivers listen to us, Riedel. They avoided the area.
And live in the studio, the traffic guru of all time, Bernie Viter, to explain
what is going on over there.
Good morning, Bernie.
Well, Scott is absolutely correct. When he was talking about the Route 3 approach to 495, that's where they take away that left-hand lane. That's going to be the biggest bottleneck. And we are seeing delays back from before Harmon Meadow out of Secaucus. I'm sure once this summer is over and the school kids are back in school, we're going to see delays back from like Route 21, Route 46. It's just going to be a mess on Route 3 because of that stretch. So once people got past that Route 3, 495 bottleneck, once they were onto 495 and towards the Helix, it was a breeze.
So do you think people just avoided the area today, or is it the vacation deal? Huh?
I think it is a combination of both those things. It's definitely a very popular vacation week and also a big week for kids to be dropped off at college. So parents are taking time off, taking their kids to college. A lot of folks are not in town.
So come September in the fall, when you got to get to work, what should you do to avoid the Lincoln Tunnel?
It's going to be horrible. And, you know, they really don't have very many alternates, you know. They're suggesting telecommuting, taking New Jersey Transit. New Jersey Transit buses, they still have the exclusive bus lane for the morning commute. So between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., they've got that exclusive bus lane. You know, hopefully that'll work without a hitch. Once again, rush hour gets into full effect after the summer is over. But it's going to be a mess.
What are they saying, 2 years?
2.5.
So the Holland and the GW, that's not enough of an alternative?
Maybe
they should go up to the Tappan Zee.
Tappan Zee was actually pretty good this morning. Yeah, we only saw minor delays there. The Holland was up to about 25, I think, at its heaviest this morning. And the George Washington Bridge at its heaviest, even with a stalled tractor trailer for a while, was like 30 to 35 for the upper, but only 10 for the lower. So if you have a car, if you can take that lower deck of the GW Bridge, you should be all right.
What about coming in from the Hugh Carey Tunnel? I never hear about that tunnel.
Well, that's out of Brooklyn. Into Manhattan.
We don't hear a lot of reports on that tunnel. That's interesting.
I like
Why
that tunnel.
Why don't you report on that tunnel for us, buddy?
I like that tunnel.
Are you
tunnel.
Ignoring the Hugh Carey tunnel?
No one ever talks about the Hugh Carey tunnel.
Honestly, because it usually doesn't have that much traffic because people will want to take the Brooklyn Bridge because it's free. The other,
But maybe you should take the tunnel. I mean, it adds on to your commute, but I've come from Long Island through that tunnel.
Not from Long Island.
You go through Brooklyn. You go,
exactly. Well, I guess you can even come in through Staten Island up through Brooklyn and avoid that. Yeah, that's definitely... you know, quite a roundabout way to do it, but you can do it.
Hey. Best view of the city, though, when you come from to the Hugh Carey Tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Bernie, there isn't a morning that goes by where you don't send out a tweet about New Jersey Transit. It's mind-blowing, and you had more equipment troubles today.
Yes, they did. They had a stalled train that was affecting three of the branches, I believe. But the good news is there was only one canceled train on New Jersey Transit this morning, which has been the best in several weeks. I think maybe that was the case because they knew that, you know, this 495 construction was going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's on Governor Murphy now, right? He's the one who's got to come up with the solution to it.
Yep. But when back to school week happens,
look out. All right, Bern.
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
Kid.
Thank you.
I love Mayor de Blasio. He's planning on making a pedal-assisted bike ride from Manhattan to Brooklyn during the morning rush Monday today, I guess. Are you kidding me? Pedal-assisted? That's not biking. That's called a Vespa. It's a motorized thing. Biking. You got a bike.
Well, this is, he's supposed to arrive by 9:30, so he must be underway, right?
No, he'll be late. He'll be late. He'll be here 1:30 after the gym workout. Then he's got his nap. He'll be here.
He's going to go with Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams and a handful of staffers. They're going to start at City Hall, go across the Brooklyn Bridge to Brooklyn's Borough Hall. Huh. And this is marking the rollout of pedal-assisted rides on city bikes. So you're not a pedal-assisted means what?
It's got a little motor on it. It zips you along. That's not biking. Come on.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Bike. Don't cause ozone layer problems. Don't contribute to climate change with a motorized bike.
The motorized bikes give cyclists an extra boost beyond their own pedal power and could potentially go 25 miles per hour.
Wow.
That could be dangerous, too. 25-mile-an-hour bikers? Hello, we got problems enough out there.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Mayor. So, all right, when we come back, we've got the entertainment news for you. Kevin Spacey's career, well, that's really cooked. Nobody wants to see his new movie.
One, yeah.
I know. And Michelle Wolf's unfunny, awful show has been nixed by Netflix, I'm happy to say. Hey, the summer's almost gone, but not the sunspots, brown spots, and UV damage to your face, neck, and shoulders. I want to tell you about Genucel's brand new sunspot corrector and the 10-day only summer repair sale. Now, you got to call Genucel at 1-800-577-8627, 1-800-577-8627, to get the summer repair sale and the brand new sunspot corrector. Here's what Roseanne from Akron, Ohio says. In just days, I saw a light of my dark spots on my cheeks. I'm ordering more right now. So go to Genucel.com or call 1-800-577-8627 and you'll get the Genucel Sunspot Corrector absolutely free just for trying Genucel. So you get the Genucel, you get rid of the bags and the puffiness under your eyes, and then you get the free Sunspot Corrector to get rid of the sunspots, the brown spots, and the UV damage. You got to go to 1-800-577-8627 or Genucel.com. Get the sunspot corrector absolutely free when you order Genucel. And now let's get some traffic from our friend Bernie Viter.
And WOR.
So we're going to do some entertainment news here, but let's start with the absolute worst entertainment. That was Michael Riddle in Mykonos singing and dancing. Who took that video? Your girlfriend?
My girlfriend, yeah.
So you're lip-syncing to Despacito and you're dancing. You look like Elaine Benes from Seinfeld dancing, by the way.
I thought my moves were pretty good. I'm busting some moves on the dance.
Well, we have it up on our Twitter handle, at LenMichaelWOR, soon to be on our website, which is 710WOR.com/LenAndMichael. We did get a Twitter comment.
Oh, a review.
Yeah, a gentleman calls himself the futurist, and he says, in that dancing Grease video, Rita looks like Zorba the Geek. Which I think is the light
of
the day.
That's very good. That's it. Zorba the Geek. That's very good.
Well, you know, the biggest entertainment news is really this actress, Asia Argento. Now, she was the one who accused Harvey Weinstein of rape.
Yeah.
And now the tables are turned because a New York Times article has come out and said that, she may have been raped by Harvey Weinstein, but she herself sexually assaulted an underage young actor-musician by the name of Jimmy Bennett when Jimmy was only 17 in California. The age of consent there is 18. Assaulted him in a California hotel room in 2013, and she recently agreed to pay him $380,000 in hush money. So here she is accusing Weinstein of rape. She allegedly sexually assaulted a young man. And by the way, when she was at the Cannes Film Festival last year,
I have a few words to say. In 1997, I was raped by Harvey Weinstein here at Cannes. I was 21 years old. This festival was his hunting ground.
Well, sounded pretty strong. And
her hunting ground apparently was her own film set. She met this guy in 2004, when he was just 7 years old. He played her son in the movie The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things. Mm. And then 17 years old, she went after him when she was 37.
I think you have to call her testimony into question now, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's no way can you bring her in to testify against Harvey Weinstein in his trial. Yeah. Not going to happen. Yeah. Hey, you know I'm a big James Bond fan, Len.
Yes, you are.
And soon you will be able to buy your very own silver 1964 Aston Martin DB5, just like the one Sean Connery drove in Goldfinger. Remember they're making it. Aston Martin is
making. They're going to make a 1964?
A limited edition, 25 only. It's going to have the revolving license plate. It's going to have some of the other gadgets. I don't know if it's going to have the passenger ejector seat. That might be a little dangerous if you want to get rid of your wife or your companion there. But the price is going to be...
Or your husband.
Or your husband. That's true, true, true. The price, $3.5 million.
Whoa. You're kidding me.
And you can't drive it on any road.
What do you mean you can't drive it on a road?
No, you can't. No, it's not meant to be driven on a road. You can sort of drive it, you know.
How many are you making?
25. But if you can afford...
Where do you drive it, then?
In your estate. If you can afford a $3.5 million car, you can drive it around your estate.
You think they'll sell this thing?
Oh, in a minute.
$3.5 million? In a second. They'll sell 25 of them?
Absolutely. Just if I had that kind of money, I'd buy it in a second. I have to content myself with the old little Corgi miniature. Remember the Corgi miniature of the James Bond cars?
No.
I have two of the Corgi Aston Martins, and I have one of the Lotus Esprit from The Spy Who Loved Me that changes into the submarine.
So what are these? They're little things?
They're Corgi. They're little Corgi cars.
What is a Corgi?
Like a matchbox? What are you talking about?
Well, they're a little bit bigger than a matchbox.
Okay.
It was a British
like a
company.
Are they bigger than the Red Basket?
I mean,
it's fun. It's got the ejector seat, and there's a little plastic guy that you can put next to Sean Connery in the seat, and you hit a button, and the roof opens up, and the ejector seat throws the bad guy out of the car. I play with it all the time.
You play with them?
I still play with them. Yes, I do. And I put on Bond, dun 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 dun, dun. I hit the ejector seat.
More confirmation
of your
geekness.
Zorba the geek in two countries. Hey, one person who can't afford this is going to be Kevin Spacey. Is this possible?
Yeah.
So he comes out with his latest film, Billionaire Boys Club. They're claiming it opened to a grand total of $126.
I had to read that like five times.
Is that true?
I was like, million? Billion? What?
Oh, no. That was on Friday.
Wait, yeah.
It was Friday.
Saturday.
It earned $162.
And over the weekend, though, it took in $425.
Oh,
wow.
Poor old Kevin Spacey.
They said it basically comes out to six people a theater or something like that.
That's unbelievable.
I don't know why they even bothered to release it.
That was a mistake.
Clearly
a mistake.
Yeah, totally. Hey, Alec Baldwin, see this? So his daughter, Ireland Baldwin, she shared a photo, kind of a sexy, it's on a web on our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael.
A racy photo on our website? What's the deal with that?
Well, it's not as good as me dancing, but she's straddling a motorcycle in a black bikini.
Mm-hmm.
She's flashing some flesh.
Yeah.
And she says, stay extra on her photo caption. Then her father noticed the photo and he tweeted, writing, no, just no. So apparently he does not approve of his daughter.
Well, he's had issues with her. Remember that famous voicemail?
Oh, yes, that was terrible. I think they have patched that up.
They have. She actually even joked about it in a roast to him about a year ago.
Do you think the photo is inappropriate that she...
No, she's a model. So it is what it is. It must be difficult for a dad to see a picture like that of his little girl.
I would say so.
If you haven't seen it, you must.
It's not a bad shot, though.
Take a look.
No, there's a lot of flesh.
Hey, you remember the White House Correspondents' Center, Michelle Wolf, went after Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and there was a whole hoo-ha, and now she got her own Netflix series. Guess what? Canceled.
Ha! She was so unfunny.
No one wanted to see it. I watched the first one, and it was just so-so. So I never watched after that. By the way, speaking of box office, the one that really did well was this movie Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
And the real story there is it's an entire Asian cast, I think for the first time in something like 25 years. And it's now, it earned $25.2 million, $34 million since its opening Wednesday, only cost $30 million to produce. So,
they hit the jackpot because Netflix wanted it and was going to be a deal where it was going to get into theaters, but they were going to have a bit of it. And they said, no, we're going for it.
They went for it.
And
it's paying off.
It is.
An all Asian cast. They didn't think moviegoers would want to watch, but clearly it's a good story. I'm not familiar with it, but
I like, my favorite Asian movie is a Flower Drum Song, Rodgers and Hammerstein. Yeah. Love, look away.
Don't sing, please.
They probably have Caucasians, playing all the roles.
And actually, remember Mickey Rooney in that movie?
Coming up, The Truth Hurts. Oh, never mind. It's not The Truth, says Rudy. That's coming up after the 9 o'clock news.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
How you doing, everyone? It's a Monday. It is August the 20th. And who's coming on Thursday? We have the Mooch.
Ah.
Anthony Scaramucci scheduled to come in the studio, which will be very cool. I wonder... his take on the truth is the truth. Because I will tell you, no matter what you think of the Mooch, always been very honest. You know,
yeah.
That's what got him in trouble, because he was so honest with the magazine article and calling people names and Bannon and stuff. So
the Mooch is the Mooch.
Mooch is the Mooch. Oh, this is an interesting email from George. He says, Hi, Len. Is it possible to talk about news and not bring up politics? There's many good things happening out there. It could be PNP, Positive News Points segment. You know, that's been tried with newspapers.
It dies.
It doesn't, for some reason, it's crazy. Not that you have to talk about politics, George, but, you know, when they say the fireman rescued the cat, that doesn't make the news.
I mean,
people don't, you know. And there have been newspapers, and they have tried it. In fact, doesn't the Times on the Weekend does a column, This Week in Positive News? I never read it.
It's not all bad news, but that's another way of slamming Trump. The implication is that, oh, this terrible news about Trump, but we're going to show you some news for all you Trump haters who, for all you people out there who think he's going to destroy this country, here's some good news for you. The implication, Len, is always anti-Trump at the New York Times.
There you go. Our big three stories. Now we know the truth is not the truth, right, Rudy?
Truth isn't truth.
That's what he said.
Put it in context.
I'm going to read you his tweet that he sent out an hour ago. I didn't even know Rudy tweeted. He has a lot of followers, too. Also in the big three, that actress who's accusing Harvey Weinstein of rape, well, now she herself is accused of paying off a young man that she allegedly sexually assaulted when he was just 17. So her credibility obviously going to be called into question big time.
Kid's name is Jimmy Bennett, and she seduced him in a hotel room in California when he was 17, and she has paid him $380,000 to keep his mouth shut.
That's Asia Argento. And rounding out the big three, this is the first Monday of the lane closures outside the Lincoln Tunnel. I think it's hilarious. Everyone, all the stations, including us, covering it. Today's the best commute ever on a Monday in the history of the Lincoln Tunnel. I guess everyone avoided the area.
We start the show saying, it's going to be the apocalypse. Oh, it's going to be backed up forever. You'll never get to work. And then we check in with Scott Pringle, WOR reporter. He's on the scene. He said, people sailing right through.
Just check back with us the Tuesday after Labor Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, it's not in our big three, but this story really, really bothers me because it's sort of a trend this month. Remember early in August, a man, a tourist from Boca, goes and knocks on the windows of cars in Queens?
Yes.
He's looking for his ride.
Yeah.
A guy gets out of the car and punches him. The guy falls down, hits his head, and 2 days later he dies. It turns out the guy doing the punching was the assistant basketball coach at Wake Forest. Well, now another Libri car mistake. A woman thinks she's getting into a cab wrong. The driver goes a few blocks, stops, gets in the back seat with her, pistol whips her, tries to force himself on her. Mm. She screams and gets away, but there's some pretty good surveillance video of this guy, so hopefully they'll get this jerk. But this is a real problem because the Uber car, I guess you should check license plates before you go knocking on windows, and you'll see the TLC, Taxi and Limousine Commission, on the license plate. But people don't do that. They see a car pulling up in front. I once had someone jump in my car thinking it was the Uber as I got out. I mean, that's crazy.
Did you hit your James Bond ejector seat and get rid of him?
Punched him. He died, and I'm soon to be off the show. So there you go.
Well, some of those Uber cars, though, they have a little... They have a U, don't they, on their windshields?
They've got should. A, they I don't know. I've never taken it. I don't know.
Some of them do. But before you get into your Uber, just check to make sure the guy knows your name, because he should know your name if you've called for an Uber.
So you lean in and say, who are you picking up?
Yeah, you say, who are you picking up? They say, are you Michael? Yeah. Are you Joe Bartlett?
Are you Zorba the Geek? That's what one of our listeners tweeted. We posted some video. Michael is back from his Greek vacation, and he's dancing and singing, and a listener tweeted, he looks like Zorba the Geek.
I was singing to Despacito, but I didn't know all the lyrics, so I said supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Class act. Oh, and Natalie is back from Italy. I got to grill Natalie. I mean, what was your favorite part, the Vatican?
Oh, the Vatican was amazing.
It is. I don't care what religion you are.
Right.
The Vatican is just incredible.
Absolutely. I mean, I grew up Greek Orthodox. I married into a Catholic family, so I have attachment to it, but it was beyond anything that I was expecting, honestly.
Did you meet the Pope? Was he there taking tickets?
I did not. No, he was not taking tickets that day.
Did you see what I was telling you? That there's a line on the floor that tells you if this were St. Patrick's Cathedral, this is how far it would be. If this is Notre Dame, this is how... And then, of course, the Vatican is much farther. It keeps going and going and going. They like to brag how they're bigger than any other church.
And so they should.
Yeah. Rome also, the Sistine Chapel. What'd you think of that?
That was incredible. I saw the Colosseum. I was in Florence. I saw the David. I went to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. That was a lot of fun.
Did you go to the Uffizi?
Uffizi. No, it's Uffizi. What's with you?
Palapalabalizi? The Uffizi.
What's wrong with you?
You went to the Uffizi.
Yes.
Speaking of Mr. Culture.
It was a great trip.
Well, welcome back, Natalie.
Thank
we missed you. And Blaine did a great job filling it, by the way.
He did, yes. Mr.
And
Culture.
You were ragging on me, Mr. You don't even have to say Uffizi Gallery in Florence. Uffizi, what's with you?
I've been away for a week. I'm a little tongue-tied.
But you were ragging on me because I didn't mention the death of some author that nobody ever heard of?
You guys did not mention one of the great writers of the 20th century, V.S. Naipaul, who died Joe, don't give me this. Oh,
did you ever hear of him, Joe?
I only watch football, Joe Face.
Well, almost, Michael. What did he write?
He wrote The Sun Also Rises?
No! Oh, my God, Len, stop.
New World?
No! Little House on the Prairie. No, he wrote The House for Mr. Biswas, which is a great novel.
Never heard of that book.
He wrote a terrifying novel.
Mr. Biswax?
Mr. Biswas.
No wonder I've never heard of
that. He wrote a brilliant novel called Bend in the River. He won the Nobel Prize, I believe.
The bends just listening to this.
No, he was a great, great writer. He was from Trinidad.
Really?
Of Indian parents from Trinidad. He became a hugely celebrated author, but he was very controversial because a lot of people thought that he was a racist because in his books he's very tough on India and Indians. And he was.
But that was his culture?
It was his culture, but he's very tough on it. Wow. And he also wrote a brilliant book about Arab cultures around the late 1970s, where he says the rise of radical Islam is going to be a problem for the world.
Wow.
And he says this in 1979.
Wow.
When he was treating
the
Arab world.
Give me his name again.
V.S. Naipaul.
And how old was he when he passed?
He was in his 80s, I believe. But now, brilliant, brilliant writer.
Now, you were overseas when the death of Aretha Franklin came down, and you told me you met her a few times. And also, we had a guy who wrote the book about Aretha Franklin, and he was talking about how your buddy Clive Davis really rejuvenated her career.
He did, yeah. Aretha, brilliant, brilliant performer, of course, but she, fell on some hard times and was out of favor for a long time. And Clive came along, and he gave her Riding on the Freeway of Love with Your Pink Cadillac and brought her back.
Yeah.
Brought her back in a big, big way.
But you said that was a little bit controversial in some quarters.
It's a little controversial because I happen to love the song, but people thought that it was kind of pop schlock and that Aretha, who sang those very soulful songs, she was the queen of soul and represented so much the civil rights movement, that Clive kind of schlocked her up with the Freeway of Love. But I guarantee you she wasn't complaining because she was back on the charts. And the song is a fun song. You know that song, Natalie? Freeway of Love.
Oh, sure.
I know it.
You know it?
And Cadillac. Oh, absolutely. I love that song. I used it once. We were doing a sports show for NBC about the Dodgers and the Angels, and they call it the Freeway Series. We used that song.
Yeah.
You know.
On the Freeway.
It was released in the mid-80s, and that's what people were listening to.
Yeah, it's
that
still
was
a good song.
Songs of the time.
Now, I may be mistaken here. We should check this, but I believe I may have seen her last public performance because I went with Clive to Elton John's AIDS fundraiser, St. John's Cathedral here in Manhattan, last year. And Aretha sang, and I do have to say, she looked painfully thin to me.
Really?
And was not in the best voice. And I thought, there's something wrong with her, because she does not look like the Aretha Franklin that we all know and love. And I think that may have been her last public performance, because she canceled a lot of performances after that. She did look not well to me.
I found it interesting that as long as she was in the public eye, how private she was. And we had this gentleman who wrote the book who did a long interview with her on the radio. He wasn't allowed to ask about her father, allowed to ask about her husband, her kids, wasn't allowed to mention she smoked. Apparently, she was a chain smoker with that great voice of hers.
Yeah.
Wasn't about to ask about her weight. All you could do if ever. Yeah.
Yeah. But
anyway. Travel on the Freeway. Hit it, Natalie.
I should have danced to this in Mykonos.
Should have. Orbit the Geek. Good song.
It's a great song.
When we come back, the guy did not get prison time. You gotta be kidding me. Plus, Mark Simone's coming up at 10 o'clock, and he's riding his pink Cadillac today. But first, Bernie Vider with traffic. O-R.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm losing my voice here.
You okay there? You go away, you're fine, you're in beautiful Mykonos, and you come back, and you're hacking like a smoker.
I know. I picked up a little head cold over there, but I'm barreling through. Hey, this is bizarre. So there's a former Houston doctor. He was convicted of sexually assaulting a patient while she was tethered to machines.
This is sick.
And receiving treatment for asthma.
Oh, right? They gave him a long jail sentence, right?
No, 10 years probation.
That's unbelievable.
No prison time at all.
How do they rationalize that?
I have no idea. He acknowledged at the trial that he had sexual contact with a woman during the night shift at Ben Taub Hospital in 2013, but his argument was that it was consensual. The victim says otherwise. She testified that the doctor came to her bedside in the dark and began touching her breasts during a chest exam. She said she tried to summon a nurse with a call button, but witnesses testified it had been unplugged. She said the doctor returned twice more and sexually assaulted her.
So, okay.
The guy's name is, excuse me.
Yeah, it's Shafiq Sheikh.
Yes.
Shafiq Sheikh. But look, how's that possible?
I don't know. I mean, his lawyers claim that he did a terrible thing and he feels terrible about it, but it was a one-time only thing. And, well, wow. he got off with 10 years probation. I mean, this is really...
His lawyer asked the jury to have mercy on a man who had a wife and children and no prior felonies. Oh, really?
Yep. And he, that his dreams to become a doctor were shattered by his conduct. It was his conduct.
That is unbelievable.
His dreams shattered. His life should be. He should be in jail. That's where he should be.
That's unbelievable that he got probation. I don't understand it. I can't believe there's not more of an uproar over this one.
I mean, I guess he claims it was consensual. Maybe his lawyers made a strong enough case that it was.
You saw this other story in Houston, right? This was both in Houston, these stories. There was a school.
Yes.
A Houston school had this is a quote that was popularized by a former New York madam.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote on the hallway above the school lockers said, "The more you act like a lady, the more he'll act like a gentleman."
What's wrong with that? That's good advice. That's about respect.
I want Natalie in on this one. Good morning, Natalie. Are
good
you back
morning.
From Italy?
Yes.
Okay, welcome this, back.
Thank you.
What
that
do you think?
That bothered me so
it
much.
Did bother
because
you?
Yeah, well, first off, it was there for 5 years and nobody had a problem with it until a mom of a student saw it and posted it on social media. But it just makes it seem like it's all the girls' issue.
Yes.
Right.
They say it's sexist, misogynistic,
and
discriminatory.
It's like blaming a girl for getting raped because she dressed provocatively.
Right. There was another school that actually recently had a video out on dress code. And dress coding is a big thing, especially in high schools. And the entire video was focused on girls' shirts being, off the shoulder, shorts being too short, wearing, athletic shorts to class. But never once did it have a boy
in
the video.
Yeah, where was that? I saw that, too. It was just the girls they went after.
Exactly.
This quote, supposedly, the quote that says, "The more that you act like a lady, the more I'll act like a gentleman," is attributed, remember Sydney Biddle Barrows?
Oh, yeah, she was the sort of high
Mayflower
class.
Madam.
The Mayflower Madam, that's right.
That was her
about
line.
That.
So I guess.
I don't know, I don't find it sexist. The more you act like a lady, the more he'll act like a gentleman.
I agree with Natalie that it puts the onus on the woman.
It was.
It is a two-way street, and I will agree that a lot of girls are dressed inappropriately, but there are boys who are also wearing things that are too revealing, too short.
Too ladylike these days when they're transgendering at 10.
It's not part of this. But anyway, the school that had the video was in Texas.
Yes, it was also a performing arts school. So the more you act like a lady, the more maybe he'll act like a lady too.
Okay, Michael. Hey, by the way, contrast that previous story where the doctor sexual assault got off.
Yeah.
On an airplane. This was... did you hear about this story? This was on Spirit Airlines. This was an overnight flight in January from Vegas to Detroit. A woman falls asleep. She wakes up and the guy's assaulting her, sexually unbuttoning her clothes.
Oh, my God.
He's penetrating her with... It's just terrible. He's assaulting her. Well, he could spend the rest of his life behind bars. It took the jury a big 4 hours to convict this guy. I don't know how to pronounce it. Prabhu Ramamurthy. They're saying he could also be deported, but they don't say what country he's from. Can you imagine? She fell asleep. She wakes up, and her pants and shirt are unbuttoned, and she's being fondled. Now, this guy, by comparison, could spend his whole life in prison. That other doctor who assaults
a woman
patient
when she's being,
who's out of it, and he gets probation. Makes no sense.
No sense whatsoever to me. I wonder if anyone tried to stop the guy from assaulting the woman. I guess, I was on the plane the other day. When it's really dark... You know, the lights are out, everybody's asleep.
And then he stopped.
Yeah. All right, let's get some news from Joe Bartlett at 9:30. Good morning, Joe.
Michael, no big problems at the Lincoln Tunnel as a major construction project on Route 495 on the Jersey side begins today on a work day. One lane closed in each direction. It was supposed to be a nightmare, but it wasn't that bad.
Traffic is going to be horrible, and I know that all that traffic is going to go by my house. So I'm going to have to learn how to deal with it.
All right, but it's not so bad so far anyway. But give it time. The work will continue through the year 2021. Rose McGowan, saddened to learn a leading figure in the Me Too movement, had to pay $380,000 to an actor who had accused her of sexual assault when he was 17. New York Times says Italian actress Asia Argento agreed in October to pay that money to actor Jimmy Bennett, who claims that he was sexually abused by her. Again, when he was 17.
How old was she?
37.
Kind of hot.
So the one, now why? Now, what was your mention of Rose McGowan? What was your mention of Rose McGowan there?
Well, she seems to be the lead voice here in the Me Too movement. So she's just saddened.
She's saddened that the one who's accusing Weinstein of rape had her own sexual assault issues against her,
right,
where she had to pay hush money.
Yeah, okay. Many Catholic churches held a massive forgiveness following the release last week of the explosive grand jury report into sexual abuse involving priests in Pennsylvania. Priests and parishes there, including some from New York City and New Jersey, prayed and asked for forgiveness. The grand jury report released by the Attorney General of Pennsylvania alleged widespread sexual abuse. Jury deliberations continue today at the bank and tax fraud trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. And Royal Oaks, a legal expert, says there's some reason for optimism for the defense here because the jury has asked for a definition of reasonable doubt. Mm. And after some Newark students were bullied for wearing dirty clothes, their principal had a washer and dryer installed at the school. Akbar Cook of the Westside High School says 85% of the students were chronically absent because they were being teased when they showed up in dirty clothing.
Oh, that's mean.
So he had 5 washers and dryers installed in the football locker room with help from some grants. So beginning the 27th of August, students will be able to use the washers and dryers after school Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And there will be some adults there to tell them how to do the laundry. Hmm.
Is it going to be coin-operated, though? Is it another way for the school to make some money?
No. I don't think so, because they've been installed with grants. So they'll... You want to use them? Wash your clothes. Why not?
I like that.
Hey, they're free food, free clothing.
Everything in New Jersey's free.
And Joe pays for it. That's the best part.
Our news brought to you by NYC Pain MD, treatment for arthritis pain. Call 855-OLD-KNEE. That's 855-653-5633.
WOR. Well, as we charge towards 10 o'clock. Good morning, everyone. On the Monday, I guess the weather at the end of this week is supposed to be spectacular, but today's quote of the day has to be...
Truth isn't truth.
I think that was a dental friend of mine said, you know, the tooth is not the tooth. You know, it's a thing there. It's an enamel. It's a filling. A tooth is... No?
No, that's not. The quote of the day is the guy who saw me dancing in Mykonos and said, I'm Zorba the Geek.
Well, you are, but that's we all knew that. Anyway, I can't believe you thought I did this on purpose. I mentioned before that Rudy Giuliani tweeted about this statement that he made.
Truth isn't truth.
Well, you know, because...
You can't handle the truth!
So anyway, Rudy tweeted. He has a lot of followers. Did you know that?
Yes.
You did know that?
Yeah.
Rudy has 139,000 followers. He's only following 32. I'll check who he's following in a second. He said, my statement was not meant as a pontification on moral theology, but one referring to the situation where two people make precisely contradictory statements. The classic, he said, she said puzzle. Sometimes further inquiry can reveal the truth, other times it doesn't.
I made this perfectly clear to you, Len, this morning. That's what I said. He was talking about Comey and Flynn when Trump said he wanted, or Comey said that Trump said to him, I want you to go easy on Flynn. Trump said that never happened. There are two versions of something that happened. Well, you got to decide which is which.
I'm looking to see who which 32 people he follows.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them. Sean Hannity, Donald Trump, Newt Gingrich, Brett Baer, Greg Gutfeld, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Jesse Waters, Bill Whoops. O'Reilly, Eric Trump, Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump Jr., Jay Sekulow, Sarah Sanders. That's who Rudy follows.
Follows them all on Fox.
So were you insulting women before the break when you said that the tubby women have problems?
Tubby women? You're insulting women. I said women, ample women. You tubby.
You did not say ample.
I said overweight.
You said if you're a woman and you're fat.
All right. Well, that's better than tubby. So anyway, well,
okay, if you think so, Michael.
He does. He thinks so.
Well, here's a study. Listen, ladies, I'm just here to report the news right down the middle. Oh, yeah? After 2 months on a low-calorie diet, men lost an average of 26 pounds, while women shed just 22 pounds, according to a study published in Diabetes, Obesity, and Metabolism.
Well, you made it sound like men could lose. I mean, that's only 4 pounds.
Yeah, that's 4 pounds in an 8-week period if you need to lose a lot of weight. And first of all, when we're talking a low-calorie diet, we're saying 800 calories a day.
Who eats only 800 calories a day?
A rabbit.
Ate that for lunch.
So it's we're talking about close to a starvation diet.
I'll bet you the men were a lot heavier and bulkier than the women, probably, in this
study. Doesn't it have something to do, Natalie, explain this to me. When you go through menopause, isn't it become harder?
She wouldn't know.
Is it harder to lose weight? Isn't it harder to lose weight?
Well, they say that your metabolism slows down, whatever that means.
I think that's true.
But the worst part of this study was it's not even just the weight loss, that over that 8-week period, men did see better numbers. Their cholesterol and their heart rate got better, but women did not see that result either. So health wise, not just aesthetics.
Right.
That they got healthier.
You're saying that God dealt women a bad hand?
With the weight, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not like we needed a study. We all know everybody has gone on a diet and their husband goes, okay, fine, I'll do it too.
He sheds the pound.
Yeah, and you're like, what just happened here?
By the way, you're right. 800 calories a day.
Yeah, that's nothing.
That's
First of all, it's not healthy. No one should eat 800 calories a day. It's not a healthy diet. Obviously, this was a controlled medical study. Should not do that at home.
Do you want to know what an 800 calorie a day diet plan is? It consists of soups, shakes, hot cereals, and vegetables. It sounds like multiple trips to the bathroom for me. It sounds like
hot cereals.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Terrible. Where's the protein in there?
All right. Speaking of eating... Yeah. This guy by the name of Larry Pitt was upset with Trixie's Cafe. This is all I say is Longport, New Jersey. Have you ever been down there, Natalie?
No,
it's a wealthy Jersey Shore resort.
I think it might be down by Cape May. I'm not 100% sure, but it's way down.
It's described as a wealthy Jersey Shore resort, and he owns a condo unit there. Apparently, the restaurant didn't think he was tipping enough when he went into Trixie's Cafe. So, what they did to him a couple of years back is that they added 20% to his check without telling
him. Well, that's not fair.
Well, they added it because they thought he wasn't tipping. So, they added $4.20 to his bill. Now, this genius that goes and sues.
Right. Lawyer's fees.
Spends hundreds of dollars more, and he lost the lawsuit.
What did they rule?
They ruled that he lost the suit. I don't know.
Well, it is part of his condo development. It's a restaurant inside, and you put money down a month that you're going to use inside the restaurant.
Ah,
so
right.
It's not a public restaurant where you're just walking in.
Here's your answer. The Superior Court judge said there was no fraud because the server told Pitt about the tip before he paid, and the tip was not mandatory.
Ah.
For there to be fraud... The defendant has to make a material misrepresentation and have knowledge or belief of its falsity.
They were open for, they were straightforward with him. But I mean, I do think tipping is discretionary.
Oh, you know, did you tip in Greece? Because I know tipping is not a big thing in Europe, and that was hard for me.
I know. We have to be careful, though, because they do include the gratuity.
Some do, some don't.
Yeah, yes. You have to ask each time when you're in Europe. Yeah.
You do, and then, but you leave a few, centimes or a little euro behind, maybe 1 euro or something like that. But I tip a little bit, like with cab drivers too. I gave every cab driver a euro, and they were very happy because most Europeans are stingy and they don't tip.
Right, but I kind of like the non-tipping environment. If everybody got paid what they should get paid,
exactly,
I think it's a much better way to live.
Right. Yeah, now, you don't feel
like
being gouged.
We're talking about our star of the day, who is Sister Mary Jo Sobieck, who threw out the first pitch. Threw a perfect strike at a Chicago White Sox game. This is a nun. Anyway, she was out at Good Morning America. And they talked to her about her perfect pitch before the White Sox game.
Well, as an athlete, you got to be all in. And I knew that my coaches and my teammates, when they saw that, they'd be like, "What are you doing? Wimp it out, man! You got to do it from. You got to do the real thing. It's all or nothing."
That's a cool nun.
So she's a nun on a baseball team?
No. She threw out the first pitch. But anyway,
I know. But she says she's an athlete. You got to go.
Before she threw the ball, she threw the ball up the air and flexed it off of her bicep.
That was good.
And caught it with her bare hand.
Part of it is I had to do something to take my mind off it, right? I mean, it's too awkward to just stand and throw from the jump. So I had to do some kind of put me in motion as a, you know, either catch it and throw it. And so I had to do something to kind of do that.
Did that little ball flip?
Yeah, she was great.
Mary Jo Sobey. You got to check this out because she really fired a perfect strike. And many called it a curveball. Check it out at 710WOR.com/Lena Michael. She's wearing the top part of her habit on her head and a nun throwing out the first pitch. Hey, when we come back, so they screwed up your loved one's ashes. Hey, stuff happens all the time. But first, let's see what's happening on the roads. Here's Bernie Viter.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We're on the home stretch here. Mark Simone is coming up after the news at 10 o'clock. Now, here's a story that grabbed me this morning. A British woman, Len, she was on a cruise ship, the Norwegian Star.
Yeah.
And 11:30 Saturday night, she fell overboard. She treaded water for 10 hours.
Wow.
And was rescued at 9:45 in the morning on Sunday. So you Whoa. Fall overboard in the middle of the night.
Where did this happen?
It was in the Adriatic Sea. The ship was on its way to Venice.
Wow.
She fell. There's a surveillance camera show her falling off the back of the boat. I mean, this is at night. You fall off the boat. No one's going to see you falling off the boat. No one's going to notice. She treaded water for 10 hours. And the Coast Guard officials came and plucked her out of the sea. And she is in the hospital, but is expected to be released soon. She says she was able to survive because she's into yoga.
Well, so
she's fit, and she sang to keep herself awake. And
nobody knew she fell overboard?
They reported someone had fallen overboard, but the boat couldn't. How are they going to find her at night? Nobody could find her at night.
No one could bring a flash, a searchlight, or nothing?
It's a big sea.
Yeah, but if it's right near the boat.
No, the boat is going pretty fast. If somebody falls overboard, that boat is gone.
Wow.
She was by herself out there in the sea in the middle of the night singing Whoa. Songs. Maybe things from The Little Mermaid Whoa. To keep her going, treading water. And
they don't have sharks in the Adriatic Sea.
Well, they do.
They do.
Sharks aren't always going to. You're not going to always get killed by a shark.
Wow.
If you're treading
10
water.
Hours of treading water. That's phenomenal.
You got to be fit and trim, and she is. She looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Her name is Kay Longstaff from England.
So yoga helped her to.
Yoga. And also, she didn't panic. That's the big thing. If you fall overboard on a cruise ship, don't panic. You'll be fine.
Okay, and in the dopey things department.
Fine. Look at you.
Say that again. What's your words of wisdom there?
He said, just don't panic. You'll be fine.
The important thing is don't panic. If you fall overboard on a cruise ship, don't panic. You'll be fine. Yeah. Just keep calm, cool,
work out.
And collected.
Let me know how that works out for you.
And sing Under the Sea, Under the Sea.
Please don't. So how about this one? You know, you've had all these challenges on... you know, you have these social media challenges. This is a goofy one out of Russia. It's called the Falling Stars Challenge. And apparently, listen to this one, Riedel.
Yeah.
Instagrams of the Russian super rich. And what they do is they pretend they've fallen down and died in glamorous settings, such as next to a luxury yacht, next to a jet, outside a sports car, private tennis courts, exotic destinations. They're laid out flat. They've died. It's called the Falling Stars Challenge. And they, you know what they think. They think it's going to make its way over here.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
It's going to make, yeah.
No
doubt
about it.
So you pretend to be dead in exotic locales?
It's where the location is. You're next to a yacht. You're on a private tennis court. You're, you know, whatever.
Those Russians are nuts.
Well, we've got it up on our website if you want to see the... Falling Stars Challenge, the latest ridiculousness on the interweb. Check out our website, 710WOR.com/Lena Michael.
One kooky thing after another. Hey, the swanky former apartment of Anthony Bourdain, the famous television chef,
yeah.
CNN Globetrotter. It is on the market, but you got to be rented, but you got to shell out $14,200 a month. Two-bedroom, two-bathroom apartment. It's in the swanky Time Warner Center there at Columbus Circle.
It's right there. You didn't have to go far to get to work.
No, because CNN is located right there.
Right there. Yes. So go downstairs.
It's got a marble bathroom, hardwood floors, and, of course, a state-of-the-art kitchen.
$14,000 a month.
$14,200.
Is that the rent? Does that include maintenance?
That's the rent. Well, yeah.
There's maintenance on top of that.
No, because the
oh, that's true.
Maintenance would be
just
folded
paying
into
rent. If you're just paying rent, right, as opposed to having a contract.
I don't know. I think it'd be kind of creepy to stay in his apartment. Don't you?
I do.
I don't know.
You want to hear creepy?
Yeah.
So a Long Island funeral home in Lake Ronkonkoma, the Maloney Funeral Home, accidentally mixed up the remains of a couple of people. They gave the ashes of a dad to the wrong grieving family, who then traveled thousands of miles to scatter his... I started to laugh.
You did.
I'm sorry. I'm guilty.
You're as heartless as I am.
Horrible human being. But these poor people took the ashes of the wrong people, traveled thousands of miles, and scattered them. And when the other family showed up and says, "Where's Dad?" Well, he's basically...
He's in the Ganges River in India.
Ganges River in India.
That's where they
went. Traditional Hindu ceremony.
I mean, I'm not going to defend the funeral home entirely here, but the problem was the two dead guys had the same last name. The guy was Serup Sharma, and the other guy who died, his name was Sharma too, so that's why they screwed up. They got their you know, they didn't squeeze their Sharmas correctly to figure out which was which.
They did have the same last name. So I guess if you just stick a tag on the urn...
So who's
said the last name?
Now, I don't know if this family has now gotten the correct ashes or if they have been scattered by somebody. One family can't because they're already gone. One family might be able to. Who's going to pay for their trip back to India to now scatter the correct ashes?
They're going to have to go back to India and have another Hindu ceremony.
I have a feeling the Maloney Funeral Home is going to be picking up the business class tickets for them when they go back.
Wow.
But they're suing.
By the way, there's a lawsuit, of course. Of course. It's a lawsuit by the people who were aggrieved.
Well, if you missed anything today, you got to check out our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael.
Welcome back, Michael.
You got the
Welcome
nun.
Back,
Natalie. You got me dancing in Mykonos. You can't miss that. Zorba the Geek. That's who I am. So check it out. But stick around for the news right now at 10 o'clock.